Good morning. Today's Daf and Ksuvos Mem Beis. We begin this morning the fourth parak of the Masechta. Just a quick introduction. Here in this fourth parak, so we're going to just continue a little bit more talking about Onis and Mefata. Now, I know that's been the topic of the entirety of the third parak of the Masechta. And the truth of the matter is that normally parakim are, for the most part, very organized and very categorized. And so Onis and Mefata is a topic, it's a subject, and we close the chapter, literally. However, there's just one more footnote, if you will, which we're going to be covering, and that's what we're going to be doing for the entirety of today. Tomorrow, an end note, so to say, regarding the actual money itself, meaning today we're going to be focusing on the monetary payment and who's going to be the beneficiary, who's going to be receiving the monetary payment. The Torah is very clear. The Torah says it goes to the father of the girl, but nevertheless, as we will see, there is what to discuss, and so we're going to be discussing that over the course of today's daf. In the remainder of the fourth parak, we'll talk a little bit about Motzi Shemra here in this fourth parak, but we're going to be talking about basically benefits and liability. In other words, when you get married, so as a husband, so you have certain benefits that you're entitled to, and then there are not liabilities, a terrible word. I'm here to edit. So the not liabilities, but responsibilities. Oh, okay, fine. Okay, so in other words, there are benefits as a husband. In other words, there are certain things of your wife that you benefit from. Zechuyos, and then there are responsibilities, or chovos, there are obligations that you have towards your wife. Okay, we're going to be talking for the most part about the financial, but there's others as well, which we'll talk about over the course of this parak. So that's going to be the topic of our parak, but right now, we don't have to shift gears. In fact, we're not going to be shifting gears. We're going to continue talking about onis and mefata. Okay, let's remind each other. Man is manis, a woman, or mefata, a woman. Onis is rape, and mefata is seduction. So both of those are assault, and they're both prohibited acts, obviously. But if he does so, and he's not married, and she's not married, so under those circumstances, so what are the results? So the results are, is that he has to marry her, both by onus and mefata. Okay, by onus, he doesn't have a choice. He has to marry her. He shows about tzitzah, as we learned in the previous parak. By mefata, he has an option. He doesn't have to marry her, but if he doesn't marry her, he's going to have to pay a knas. Let's not focus so much today about marriage. Let's talk about the monetary payment. So what are the monetary payments that are due? So let's right now focus on onis, even though our mission over here is talking both about onis and mefata. But let's talk about onis. So what are the monetary payments that are due? So as we discussed extensively back in the third parak, it's going to be number one, a knas. He has to pay a punitive fine of 50 shkalim. Number two is that he's got to pay all the nizkei chavala. In other words, the fact that he assaulted her, and now he created chavala saguf, it was bodily damage, so he has to pay for that bodily damage, which includes depreciation, that's pagam, it includes boshas, the embarrassment, and it includes tsar pain as well. And the only difference between onis and mefata is that by mefata he doesn't pay tsar. By onis he does pay tsar, and by mefata he doesn't pay tsar. Back in the third paragraph, the Gemara tried to articulate why exactly there is tsar by onis, but not by mefata. And the Amoraim really struggled with that, and some of the Amoraim had to quote their mother, uncomfortable as that is, but in other words, but the Gemara says, but that is a difference, meaning that we know is a difference. We saw that already in the Mishnah back in the third parak. Good. Who is the recipient of the money? So the father. The father is the recipient of the money. Even the boshes and pagam, even the monetary payments, the father is the recipient. The Torah says so. Okay. With all that stated, we are ready. Let's begin. We are in the Mishnah here in the beginning of the fourth parak. Now, so when it comes to the monetary payment, so the recipient is going to be the father. By pitu, it's going to be the boshes, begam, and the kanas. And by ones, the Mishnah uses the word tfusa. But as Rashi points out, the Mishnah over here, not clear why, but the Mishnah over here is electing to use the lashon of the pasuk. Right, the term when describing rape, it says usifasa. And he grabbed her. So when it comes to onis, there's an additional payment of tsar, and it all goes to the father. All the payments go to the father. That's the pasuk in the Torah. Okay, we don't need the Mishnah for that, but we do need the Mishnah for the upcoming. And that is Amda B'din Ashal Mesa'av. Now, when it comes to kanas, so kanas is a fine. Okay, and with my chavrusa this morning, earlier this morning, And so everyone needs to make sure, myself first and foremost, and everyone else needs to make sure that we understand that kanas and mammon are not the same. They are not the same. And as, in other words, aside from the fundamental difference that kanas is punitive and it's not compensatory, and mammon is compensatory, aside from the basic definitional differences, but when it comes to kanas, so when does the obligation of kanas come into existence? when and only when Beis Din says so. Meaning that when a man is ma'anis a woman, so he's on the books now to pay knas, but the knas is not there yet. In other words, the knas obligation does not actually exist until Beis Din, until they go to court, and Beis Din levies the knas against the individual. Prior to that, so the knas is only there as a possibility. It's latent, but there is no actual knas that is imposed on the individual. Now, that's an important point, and as we'll see, it's really the cornerstone of the entirety of today's daf. Knas does not exist until Beis Din says it exists. And that means to say, look at the Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah here is going to speak this out. Amda b'din ashlo mesav harein shalav. So, let's say amda b'din, but before the father died. They went to court, and now the court ruled that you have to pay. You have to pay the monetary payment and the knas as well. So now, mesav harein shalachin. So now if the father dies, so where's that? Who is awarded that money? The brothers, meaning it's now part of the estate. Once Beis Din says that you owe the money, so now that money, that knas, let's say it like this. It converts to mammon. Once Beis Din says that you owe the money, so the knas is going to now have the quality of mammon in that it's an obligation. It is now an account receivable. As such, so now if the father dies, so now the estate just simply is able to collect. But let's say the following. Let's say they go to the court, but before the actual court rules, so let's say the father dies. Okay, there's still going to be a court case, meaning he still raped her, and there's still going to be a court case, but when the court rules, who now is going to become the recipient of that money? She is going to become the recipient of that money. Okay, we're saying over the same point, but now not with the death of the father, but rather with her becoming a bogaris. As a bogaris now, she becomes an independent. She is now financially severed from her father. While she's a nara, any of her earnings, any and all of her earnings go to her father. After she becomes a bogaris, all monies now go to her. So now it's the same exact point, but regarding her becoming a bogaris. Meaning, if they went to the court and the court ruled on the kanas before she became a bogaris, good. Now the kanas converts into a mammon, and now it becomes an account receivable of the father. And that means to say that even though the collection did not occur until after she becomes a bogaris, it doesn't matter. Once it becomes the father's account receivable, he gets to collect it. And again, if he dies, it goes to the estate. But if, let's say, the court did not come to the ruling until she becomes a bogaris, so now whose account receivable is it? It's her account receivable. And now she gets to collect. Okay, so far so good. So we learned in the Mishnah that according to the Tanakhama, when it comes to a kanas, the kanas materializes. It becomes an obligation only at the point of Hamad Bedin. Good. And we have two examples of how we see this play out. Number one, with the death of the father, before or after Hamad Bedin. Number two is when she becomes a bogaris, before or after Hamad Bedin. Really clear Mishnah. Now, the only thing the Mishnah adds at this point in time is Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Shimon, what he does is that he just moves the line over. He does not believe that Hamad Bedin is the critical point, but rather collection. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im lo yispik al agava sad shemei tzav, harin shel atzma. Rabbi Shimon's of the position that it is not the when Beis Din obligates the money, but rather it's the actual point of collection. That is when the father is in fact entitled to the money, rewarded the money. So that now, if after collection the father dies, it goes down to the Yorshim. If, however, let's say he didn't collect, meaning according to Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah, even though Hamad Bedin already occurred, it is not yet considered the father's until actual collection. Therefore, if the father died, let's say after Hamad Bedin, but before collection, now who's collecting? The daughter is collecting. She's collecting. Good. So that Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon argues with Tanakhama in terms of what the critical point is. And as we go through the Gemara, we will understand a little bit better why Rabbi Shimon argues with the Tanakhama. We are on the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, Maisei Adam Tziasa, Alpha Pishlo Gafta, Mesaav Hare Hein Shel Achin. However, when it comes to Maisei Adel Mitziasa, her earnings and her findings, basically anything she earns as a ketan or as a nara, so that all is mamon immediately. So in other words, she works. There's a paycheck coming. And Rachmana, she dies before she receives the paycheck. So who now is entitled to that paycheck? The father. In other words, because, and even, and over here, there's no court, there's no ruling. In other words, when it comes to a paycheck, paycheck is mammon. As such, so the moment that there is an obligation to pay her, so that immediately goes to the father. So that now becomes an account receivable, an immediate account receivable that could be collected from the father, even if she dies before she actually collects it. In other words, the father's entitled to it. Okay, and if the father dies, so then it's going to go to the Urshim. The brothers are going to be able to collect that paycheck. Okay, Adkan. So the Mishnah over here basically gives us a fundamental difference between Mammon and Kanas. When it comes to Mammon, it becomes collectible immediately. In other words, because Mammon represents an actual obligation, as opposed to Kanas. Kanas is an obligation, but only materializes at the point of Hamad Abedin. Prior to Hamad Abedin, it is not yet an obligation. Now, why should that be? In other words, why, if a kanas is in fact going to be levied by the court and there is going to be a requirement to pay, so why does kanas not materialize until the point of Hamad Abedin? The answer is very simple. Rashi says it a couple of times over the course of today's daf. It's really simple. Because we have a principle of mode b'kanas pater. Because what you can do is that you can expunge that kanas requirement. How so? Just by simple admission. Meaning if at any point in time he admits and he says, this is what I did, so under those circumstances, there's no longer a kanas payment. Once Beis Din rules that you have to pay the kanas, no hoda afterwards is going to change the fact that you have to pay the kanas. So prior to Hamad Abedin, so what you could do is, with a simple admission, you can just totally wipe out the obligation altogether. After Hamad Abedin, you no longer can do so. So that's why the critical point becomes Hamad Abedin. Again, just a quick reminder, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's pushed over to the actual Hagbah, to the actual collection. Okay, and we'll go over that why that is, but back to the Chachamim, Hamad Abedin becomes the critical point. My Kamash Malam. We start with the Gemara 1, Membeis Amud Aleph. The Gemara's question is really simple. What did we learn new in this Mishnah? So Tanina Mafatanos in Shoshad Varm Vonis Arba, Mafatanos in Boshus Begam Bekanas, Vekanas, Mosif Alav Onish, and Osin Esatzar Lavia. So the, Esatzar, period. So, we basically are going over what we learned back in the third parak. What's news in our Mishnah? The Gemara says immediately, I'll tell you what's news in the Mishnah. The obligation, that's not news. The recipient, that's news. Le'avia, it's direct lay. So the Gemara says, "Lavia nami pshita medikal yav mefate diilatzma amayav mefate midaita avon." So the Gemara says, "Well, maybe the fact that the father receives it." The Gemara says, "I know the father receives it. First of all, it's a pasuk in the Torah, and on top of that, obviously the father is going to be receiving it because by pitui. So in the case of seduction, so at first she wasn't interested, but with a little bit of encouragement on his part, so she finally yields. She capitulates." That's what's called mechila. So if there is no father in the picture, and she's mochel, so then there's no payments. In other words, she's basically saying, I'm okay with it. So obviously there is a father in the picture, and obviously the father is going to be the recipient, because she may be mochel, but the father can't be. The father is not mochel. Maybe could be mochel, but okay, put that thought away. Just for now, I'm saying, just a simple pshat in the Gemara. The father's not mochel. And so therefore, obviously, there's a father in the picture. So, what news have we learned in the Mishnah? The fact that there are payments, we learned that back in the third parak. The fact that there's a father, obviously, there's a father in the picture. So the Gemara says, Amda bedin etzrich lei plokta de Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. I spelled it out when we learned the Mishnah, but here the Gemara is really spelling it out. And obviously, you know I got it from the Gemara. And that is this idea of Hamad bedin, where Kanas is a zero before Hamad bedin, meaning it's a potential obligation, but it's not real before Hamad Abedin. When I say the word real, I mean collectible. It's not real before Hamad Abedin, and after Hamad Abedin, now it's collectible. It's collectible. The kanas basically converts into a mammon at the point of Hamad Abedin. That's one chiddush in the Mishnah. And the other chiddush in the Mishnah is that Rabbi Shimon says, it's not Hamad Abedin becomes the critical point. It's the actual collection that becomes the critical point. So those are new points that we learned on the Mishnah that we needed this Mishnah for. Okay, Tanan Hasam. We're going to learn a Mishnah in Shavuos together. Before we learn this Mishnah in Shavuos, so a quick background, a little bit of an introduction. Okay, we are right now talking about the Karban Shavuah. So if you recall, we did Shavuos a good amount of time ago. So, but if you recall, and all this could be found at the end of Parshas Vayikra, the Torah says the following. Let's say you owe an obligation, a financial obligation, you owe money. And the person's coming after you, and you simply make a denial. I don't owe the money. Really, you don't owe the money. Are you ready to swear to the effect that you don't owe the money? Sure, I'm ready to swear. You go to court and you swear that you don't owe the money. So you deny, followed then by a shvua. You swear that you don't owe the money. And then afterwards, you have a sleepless night and you really struggle with your conscience and you go to court the next day and you raise your hand and you say, I lied. Not only did I lie, I swore to the fact that I lied, and now I'm ready to make amends. So you're moda. You now admit that you actually owe the money. So the Torah says, under those circumstances where you denied, compounded with a shvua, and then finally an admission, so now three consequences. Number one, you have to pay back the principal of that which you owe. That's called keren. Then on top of that, you also have to add on a chomesh as well, right? Another 25%. Chomesh comes out to 25%. You've been with me long enough. You know that the math works. Okay. And if you don't understand it, come to me later. And then finally, you also have to bring a carbon. This is what's called an asham gzela. Okay. There are a limited number of ashamas in the Torah. Asham is very similar to a carbon chattis. It's there to provide a kapara. But instead of a carbon chattis, you bring a carbon asham. This is one of the unique instances in the Torah. I believe there are five in total where you bring a carbon asham, this being one of them. Fine. So that is all what's called a carbon gzela. Now, on this carbon that you bring, it's only on a denial of a monetary obligation. Okay? So in terms of an introduction, that's the key phrase that you need to focus on. That the only time that you have all these consequences of keren and chomesh and carbon asham is only when you deny a monetary obligation.
An object doesn't count.
Huh? Oh, no. An object is a monetary obligation. In other words, what's excluded is going to be kenas. Right. Good. So, tanan hasam. So here we go. We're going to learn the Mishnah and Shavuos together. Anasta. Upa TTSBT. So let's say father goes over to a man and says, look, I know what you did to my daughter. You either raped her or you seduced her. Vuhor merlo anas v'lo patiti. So he starts off with a denial. Mashbiach chaniv amar amen. Are you ready to swear? He's like, yeah, sure, I'm ready to swear. They go to court, he swears. Good. And then again, his conscience got to him, and he makes an admission. Chayiv. So according to the Tanakhama now, we are in a classic territory of an obligation. There is now an obligation of carbon shvua. Because what did he deny? A monetary obligation. Rabbi Shimon poter, shenem ashalem kenas api atzmo. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, we're talking about a kenas over here. And eino mashalem kenas api atzmo. And you do not pay a kenas based on your own admission. Meaning what Rabbi Shimon is arguing right now is that this is not a denial on a monetary obligation, it's a denial on the kenas. And again, kenas is not yet obligatory. Now, is this before or after Hamada Bedin? That's an important point. We right now don't know. Hold that thought. Amrulo alfa bichena mishalem kenas al piatzmo ava mishalem bosha begam al piatzmo. Now, the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, you seem to be very narrow in looking at the scenario. Meaning, in the accusal of, you raped my daughter, so in that comes together not only kenas, but also monetary payments as well. As we learned in the third paragraph, as we learned at the beginning of this morning's shiur. So there is both a compound obligation of both kenas and mammon. So the Chachamim say to Rabbi Shimon, I don't understand. In other words, you're focusing on the kenas, it's not just kenas. There's also mammon as well. There's boshes, there's begam. In the case of ones, there's also tsa'ar. So how can you tell me that he's not denying a monetary obligation? He is denying a monetary obligation. And he's also denying kenas as well. Okay. And you want to litigate on the kenas? Fine. But it's not just kenas, it's mammon as well. Good. So this is now the back and forth in the Mishnah, in Shavuos, regarding the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon on such a case. Now, Bamine Abaye Merava. Okay, so we say that by way of introduction. Now the following question comes about, right? Abaye asks Rabba the following question. Rabba meaning his Rebbe, meaning, right, there are two Rabbas, there's Rava and Rabba, right? Rava with an Aleph, that's his contemporary, his Chavrusa, right? Rabba with a Hey, so that's his Rebbe, and also probably the one who raised him, either way. So Bamina Abaye me Rabba, ha'omer l'chaver, naso bititis biti v'amaratech bedin, v'nizchayavti li mamon. So, a person says to his friend that you either raped or seduced my daughter, and we had Hamada Bedin. Okay? We had Hamada Bedin, meaning that's part of the accusal as well. and now you owe me. Nizchayavtali mamon. Now he in zoom in on the word mamon, and you obligate, and you were obligating me mamon. Now is that talking about the monetary payment, or is that also talking about the kanas as well? Just hold that thought. Think about it for a moment. Now. And now he denies. And followed with the denial, he made a shvua. And then following the shvua, he then made an admission. So, my question to you, this is a baye to rabba. My question to you is, li Rabbi Shimon, my. What do you think Rabbi Shimon would say about that? Now, we already know what the Chachamim would say about that, meaning Hamada Bedin occurred, at least according to the accusation, which he finally capitulated to. He admitted that there was Hamad Abedin. So we already know what the Chachamim would say, that Hamad Abedin takes any kenas and converts it to mammon, and so therefore it's a denial and a monetary obligation. Okay, so we know what the Chachamim would say. My question, Abaye says to Rabbah, is what would Rabbi Shimon say under those circumstances? So, my, kevin dama Abedin mammon ahavai, umechayv ala karm shvua. So on one hand, as part of the accusation, it was a kenas, but enforced by the Beis Din, obligated by the Beis Din, and so what that does is it converts the kenas to a mammon. And therefore, it's a denial on mammon. And therefore, you're going to be obligated with all the obligations that comes with a denial and a shvua on a monetary obligation. Again, Karen Chomish and Karben Asha. That's one possibility. So, or maybe no. Maybe even after Amad Bedin, it still falls under the category of kenas, according to Rabbi Shimon. As such, it falls under the category of kenas. Therefore, it's not a hachasha. It's not a denial on a monetary obligation, and so therefore you're not going to be obligated the chomish and the karban. Okay. So what do you think Rabbi Shimon would say? Now it's a little bit unfair because we just learned the Mishnah together in the beginning of this parak. And the Mishnah in the beginning of this parak said that according to Rabbi Shimon, what becomes the critical point? It's not Hamad Bedin, but rather it's the actual collection as well. So it's a little bit unfair because right now, the jury pool, that's us, so we got influenced by our Mishnah. I'm going to ask everyone right now, could we just forget the Mishnah? Forget our Mishnah. I know normally when you're learning, you don't want to forget things, but I'm asking everyone right now just to forget the Mishnah. Let's look at the question in of itself. What Abai says to Rabbah, what do you think Rabbi Shimon would say under those circumstances? It was after Hamad Abedin. Is it Mammon or is it Kenas according to Rabbi Shimon? Amarle Mammon Ehave Mechayv Ala Karben Shvua. Let's hear Rabbah's answer because Rabbah gives a really, really strong opinion. And he says that even according to Rabbi Shimon, it's now Mammon. It's Mammon. Okay. So for the rest of today, what we're going to be, and in the beginning of tomorrow, what we're going to be sitting on now is this answer that Rabbah gives. Rabbah says that after Hamad Bedin, it's a kenas, but we already went through Hamad Bedin. So Rabbah says that according to Rabbi Shimon, it is now converted to mammon. And therefore, a denial on it would be a denial on a monetary obligation with all the ramifications of Karen Chomish and Karben Asham. That's what Rabbah says. And all we're going to be doing for the remainder of today is challenging this assertion of Rabbah. Now we know what's going to come into play. Our Mishnah is obviously going to come into play, but hold that thought because we're not there yet. Eisve. So here now the back and forth. For the remainder of today, all we're going to be doing is looking at Abaye, just trying to understand Rabbah's answer and unable to understand the answer because there seems to be a lot of evidence that would suggest this is not correct. Eisve Rabbi Shimon. Eisve. So Abaye challenges Rabbah based on a Braisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now, there are two parts of the Braisa. We are right now learning the second half of the Braisa. I know the way it's being presented to us is a little bit out of order. In other words, in a couple minutes from now, we're going to be seeing the first part of the Braisa. But right now, second half of the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer Yachol Omer Lechaver Anasti Patiti Patiti V'hu Omer Lo Anasti V'lo Patiti Hemish Arecha Es Avdi V'hu Omer Lo Hemis Osha Amer Lo Avdo Hi Palti Shinai V'simati Seinai V'hu Omer Lo Hi Palti V'lo Simati. Okay. So various accusations of Kenas. Right? Multiple examples. Three examples in total. One, Ones Mefata. Two, your shore killed my Eved. Three, is that you knocked, and Eved Kanani is accusing his owner, you knocked out my tooth. So in all three of those, there's going to be a Kanas. Right? The Kanas for Ones Mefata is Chamishim Kesef. The let me just make sure I said it right. The kenas for onis and mefat is going to be 50 kesef. The kenas for a short killing somebody else's eved, kenani, is 30 shkalim. And the kenas for knocking out the tooth or an eye or any appendage of your eved kenani is its freedom. Okay. So, in any one of these is examples. So, there was an accusation, v'nishba v'hoda, and he denied it, and he swore to the denial, v'hoda, and then afterwards he finally came clean. Yachli yechayev, I might have thought that he should be obligated. Tamalam v'kichesh b'amito, b'pikadon b'sumas yadro b'gezel o ashakot amito o matza avida v'kichesh b'v'nishba al sheker. Okay, so the Gemara quotes a pasuk at the end of Parshas Vayikra, where you deny. Now, there are so many examples that are given in the Torah. What is the tzad hashava with all these examples that are given? They're all monetary. Every one of these examples. And so Rabbi Shimon says, so what do I learn together? You're only obligated to the Karban Shvuah when the denial is on money. But over here, these examples that you gave me, they're not denials on money. They're denials of kenas. Period. Period meaning that's the end of the Braisa. Now, analysis of the Braisa. We're on the Amud Beis. My lav visha Amud Bedin. Now, in the Braisa, where are we? Was the Beis Din already ruled? The Beis Din not ruled yet? Are we before or after Hamad Bedin? The Braisa doesn't say. So, my lav visha Amud Bedin, lo vishalo Amud Bedin. So, presumably, we're talking about Hamad Bedin, and Rabbi Shimon is saying that it's Kenas even after Hamad Bedin. And if that's true, it's difficult on Rabbah. And the Gemara says, no, it's talking about before Hamad Bedin. Really? Really? V'hamid reisha b'sham Bedin, seifanami b'sham Bedin. But the Gemara points out, but there are two halves of this Braisa. And now, let me show you the first half of the Braisa. I'm telling you the first half of the Braisa is talking about where there was Hamad Bedin, as we will see in just a moment. And being that it's all one long Braisa, if the first half of the Braisa is Hamad Bedin, second half of the Braisa is also Hamad Bedin. And then, your answer that you just proposed, no good. Okay, let's see the first half of the Braisa together. Diktani Reisha, because it says in the first half of the Braisa, Ein li elo dvarim shemasham emalem esakaren tashlumi kefal, tashlumi arba v'chamisha, v'aunis v'mefata, mosi shemra, mi nain tamalamar, umala ma'al riba. So, this is now the first half of the Braisa. Now, in the first half of the Braisa, it's not Rabbi Shimon talking, it's the Tanakama, it's the Chachamim, and in the Chachamim, so ma'ale ma'al is a ribui, meaning, what did you do? You did some treachery. Right? You did something bad. So why does it say twice? Mala ma'al? It's coming to include even these cases of kenas, where even though you denied a kenas, you're still going to be obligated. Okay, now obviously, the Tanakama of this Braisa is arguing with Rabbi Shimon. Now where are we? Are we before or after Hamad Bedin? The Gemara points out we have to be after Hamad Bedin. So, Hechidami idol Hamad Bedin kfeila mi'ika. Right? Because in the examples that are given over here in this first part of the Braisa, Kefal being one of them, Dalvehei being another one. So, Kefal, the only time we can even talk about Kefal is only if the court ruled. Oh. So the court ruled already, so that means that we have to be after Hamad Bedin. Oh, that part's obvious. So, Elapshita b'shama bedin, Medireisha b'shama bedin, Sefanami b'shama bedin. Now, if the first part of the Braisa is talking about we're after Hamad Bedin, second part of the Braisa is also talking about we're after Hamad Bedin, and now we go all the way back to Rabbah. This is a bias, challenge to Rabbah. So now let's reset. Let's make sure that we got all this clear because I admit this part is slightly complicated. So again, the question that Abaye posed to Rabbah to begin this entire discussion is, what do you think Rabbi Shimon would say? In the case of a denial, followed by a shvua, followed then by hodah, on a kenas, after Hamad Bedin, what do you think Rabbi Shimon would say? Are you obligated or are you not obligated on Karban Shvuah? Rabbah says that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's mamon. It's mamon. The kenas converted to mamon. Okay, that's how Rabbah responded. Meanwhile, after going through now this Braisa, both the first and second half of the Braisa, here's what we just learned together. In the second half of the Braisa, we learned the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that you're not going to be obligated on Karban Shvuah, on a kenas, and as we just learned together, even after Hamad Bedin. Okay. So now this becomes difficult. So, Amar Leh, so he says to him the following. Yechilna, this is now Rabbah saying back to Abaye. Yechilna shun lecha reisha b'sham ha-bedin v'sefa b'shalom ha-bedin v'kula Rabbi Shimon hi. Now here's what I could say to you, but I know you're not going to like it. So I'm not going to say it. And in my not saying it, by the way, I'm saying it. But here's what I know you're not going to accept. Maybe there are two parts of the Braisa, and the entire Braisa is Rabbi Shimon, and the first part of the Braisa is before Hamad Bedin. The second part is after Hamad Bedin. But I know it's a bad answer. Because I know what you're going to say to me. And that, just look at the structure of the Braisa. Listening ratio, Rabbi Shimon Omer, listening Seifa Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, if the entirety of the Braisa is Rabbi Shimon, so then Rabbi Shimon's name should be either on the front end of the first part of the Braisa, or on the back end of the second part of the Braisa. By virtue of the fact that what happens is that is the Braisa. And now we're looking at the Braisa in sequential order. First it states the opinion of the Tanakama. Then it says Rabbi Shimon Omer, clearly now, there is the entire Braisa is not going like Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi says to Abaye, I would have suggested it, but I know it's a bad answer. So I'm not going to suggest it. Okay, fine. So Ela Kula B'Shama B'din V'Reisha Rabbanu V'Sefer Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so here's what I'll tell you. I'll tell you that, right, like you say, the entire Braisa is talking about after Hamad B'din, and the first part of the Braisa is a Chachamim, and the second part of the Braisa is Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so I'll say all that to you, and I'm going to admit that that's true. And here's now Rabbi saying to Abayez as follows. So what I'll have to do is I'm going to have to change my position, but just a little bit. And that is, here's what I'll say. I'll say that according to Rabbi Shimon, generally speaking, after Hamad Bedin, you know what happens? The Kenas becomes Mammon. It's an obligation. And in fact, it's now such an obligation. It's on the books. It's an account receivable. The father dies. The kids can collect it. Oh. It just happens to be that in the world of Karban Shavuah, it's an exception. Okay? I'll say it again, because I know it's complicated. What Rabbah is arguing is the following, that according to Rabbi Shimon, after Hamad Bedin, it now becomes a full-fledged obligation. A real collectible obligation. It's on the books. You can come and collect anytime you want. Even if, in fact, not only that, but if you die, the collection is now still going to be inherited by the estate. The kids can collect. All I'm saying, Rab is saying, is that according to Rabbi Shimon, Karban Shavuah is different. Karban Shavuah is different. Why? Because the pasuk, we have a drasha. V'kichesh ba'amito. V'kichesh ba'amito is coming to tell me, look at all the examples that are given. The only time that you're chayv the Karban Shavuah is when the denial comes on mammon, and it has to be something which is fundamentally mammon.
Mammon
from the beginning. Better said. Good. So good. Eisvei, Rabbi Eisvei. So that was round number one. And what we'll do today is we'll do one more round. Meaning, again, Abaye is going to challenge Rabbah a second time. And tomorrow, we're going to start off with Abaye challenging Rabbah a third time. So here we go, round number two. Now round number two, now I'm going to ask you to remember what I asked you to forget. In other words, we go back to our Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, it was pretty clear, and now the Gemara is going to note. Good. We go back to our Mishnah. What did we learn in our Mishnah? According to Rabbi Shimon, a woman was raped. Okay, now it's a now she's obligated. He owes her the kenas. Well, to say it better, more accurately, he owes the father the kenas. Now, before Hamad Bedin, it's not yet on the books. It's not an account receivable. After Hamad Bedin, it now becomes an account receivable. Then the Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Shimon, not yet. Not yet. When is it actually the father's? Only at the point of collection. Prior to that point in time, it's not yet mammon. That's Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah. Okay, now, Rabbi, let's hear your position again. According to you, Rabbi Shimon would say that after Hamad Bedin, the kenas now rolls over to becoming mammon. It becomes now an obligation, a collectible obligation. Are you right about that? I mean, don't you remember our Mishnah? That's going to be the question. So, Rabbi Shimon Omer Imlo Speaker Lagaba Sacha Mesav Harin Shalatzma Viyamar Mammon Havela Rish Lavan of Latzma Amai Dachin Bai Mehave. I don't understand. If you're telling me that according to Rabbi Shimon, Hamad Bedin is the point in which it becomes a collectible, it becomes a real account receivable. So at that point in time, so if the father dies, so it should be able to be collected by the brothers. And meanwhile, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon doesn't say that. Rabbi Shimon says it only becomes the father when he actually collects.
Amar Rav Haimil Sakashi Bei Rabba V'Rav Yosef Esen V'Tartin Shnin.
So Rabbi says, look, happens to be, you're asking a really good question. In fact, 22 years, that question bothered me. Okay, there are a couple places in Shas where Rabbi and Rav Yosef are troubled by questions for 22 years, right? And obviously, there's significance to 22. Why specifically 22 years? But in other words, it's a good. You're asking a really good question. However, v'lo ifrik ad Yosef Rav Yosef bereisha upirka shani hasam. Now, what happened was Rav Yosef was appointed Rosh Hashiva. And with an appointment to Rosh Hashiva, you get a certain extra siyata d'shmaya. And so after he was appointed Rosh Hashiva, so Rav Yosef says, good, okay, now I have an answer. And he says, Shani Hasim Damakra, V'nasan Aisha Shochiv Ima La'avi Anara Chamishim Kesef. Lo Zichza L'Torah La'av Ela Mishas Nisina. So in other words, this is an exception to the rule. The exception to the rule is going to be that of Ones. Why is Ones an exception? Because of the Pasuk. The construct of the Pasuk. It says in the Torah, V'nasan. The verb used is, and he gives it over. So it is not the father's until the actual Nesina. Which means that even after Hamad Bedin, this is now in explanation Rabbi Shimon. Even after Hamad Bedin, Rabbi Shimon says it doesn't belong to the father until he actually collects it. Meaning, in every other example of Knas that's given, Hamad Bedin is where it rolls over. It rolls over from being this ethereal obligation to being a real collectible obligation. It's an account receivable for every other Knas. But when it comes to Ones, so this is an exception to the rule because of the Pasuk, of Vinasan. V'chikam Rabba Mamona Have Larish Lavana V'shar Knasos. And when Rabba was arguing that according to Rabbi Shimon, that it is, that it does actually convert from being a Knas to Mamon by Hamad Bedin, that's by any and every other Knas. So Elam Yatagabe Evadichsev Kesav Shoshim Shkalam Yitain La Adonav Hachinam Lo Zichsa Torah La Adon Elam Mishas Lasina. Really. So once the Torah uses the word nasan or some conjugated form of the word v'nasan, so you tell me that should be an exception. Okay, so I'm looking at the pasuk regarding the shloshim shkalim that's owed by when one shur kills somebody else's eved. Your shur muad kills somebody else's eved. You now are on the hook to pay shloshim shkalim. And you're telling me that anytime you see the word v'nasan, it means that it's not actually his until he actually collects it. And prior to that, it's not yet an account receivable. So why don't we say the same thing by Shloshim Shkalim? And meanwhile, I don't hear you saying that. So Yitin Lachud V'Nasan Lachud. So his response is, you have to look at, the conjugation's important. V'Nasan, that's active. However, not as instructive, not as descriptive in terms of it is not considered money until actual collection. Okay, I know that's hair splitting, but again, this is Rabba in defense of his position. So you're telling me that Onis is an exception. Why is Onis an exception? Because Vinasan. I'm going to go back to that Brisa that we learned earlier this morning, where Rabbi Shimon in that Brisa, in the second half of the Brisa, says, do you know why it's different? Because the Torah says Vikichesh. Didn't the Brisa miss a mark? Meaning, we just learned together, do you know why, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's exceptional? Because the word Vinasan. Isn't the Brisa kind of swinging and missing in terms of what the correct drasha should be? So Amarava ki itzarech v'kichesh kagon sham dabedin uvagra umesa. So the Gemara says you're right, meaning it's a good point. Meaning the Brisa should have quoted the pasuk regarding v'nasan. V'nasan la avi anara. Do you know why he quoted v'kichesh? Because he wanted to tell us a separate point as well, and that is you had Amad dabedin. She then becomes a bogaris. Umesa, and then she dies. The Hasam Kika Yaris Avia Mina Didaka Yaris. Now, as far as the father's inheriting from her because she became a Bulgaris. So Ihachi Yasu Elishin Kenas Mamunhu. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, I go back to the Brisa, and I'm just wondering. In the Brisa, it says, you know why these are exceptions? This is Rabbi Shimon talking because they're Kenas. Well, the Gemara says, I don't understand. It's not Kenas. It's Mamun. So Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, Yatzu Elo, Sheikaran Kenas. So the Gemara says no. In other words, it's Mamon, but originally it was Kenas converted over to Mamon, so that's why it calls it Kenas. But you're right. In other words, by after Hamad Bedin, it's actual Mamon. Okay, and this is where we're going to pause. Okay, so where are we right now? And I understand today's daf, the second part of today's daf was definitely complicated. But where are we right now? So the first part of our daf today was really straightforward. And the first daf just established who is the rightful recipient of the kanas payment. And that's going to be the father. The pasuk says so. But the point is that our Mishnah tells us that even after Hamad Abedin, not even. Okay. After Hamad Abedin, so now it becomes a real account receivable. So that the father collects. And if the father dies after Hamad Abedin, so it's now going to be, the estate now is able to collect. The kids are able to collect. His sons are able to collect. Good. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. And in the Mishnah, we also heard the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that says that it doesn't become collectible until actually collected. Meaning, even after the court ruled, it doesn't belong to the father until he actually collects it. So that means that according to Rabbi Shimon, if the father dies before actual collection, so it goes to her, not to the estate. Fine. That was our Mishnah. And also the Mishnah told us that when it comes to her earnings, so her earnings belong to the father. While she's a katana, while she's an ara, all of her earnings, all of her mitzvahs belong to the father. And even before the actual collection, there's nothing, nobody, there's no concept of Hamad Abedin, of Gibui, of collection, because that's just simply money that's owed. Money that's owed, the moment that it's owed, belongs to the father. And if the father dies, it goes to the estate. Good. Now, the Gemara starts off the discussion with what's our Mishnah teaching us, but what our Mishnah is teaching us is the points of Kenas, Hamad Abedin, Machlokas Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon. Good. The remainder of today's daf, which admittedly is a little bit complex, but it goes like this. The remainder of today's daf wants to know that Abaye poses to Rabbah the following challenge. In the event that the accusation, the charge was, is that you raped my daughter. You owe me the payments. He denies it, followed by a shvua, followed then by admission. Now we know as a basic rule that the only time that you're chayv, Karen Chomish and Asham, is only when you deny a monetary obligation. So here, in the accusation, you raped my daughter, and we went to the court, and we had Hamad Abedin, and you never paid me. And he denies it, swears it, and then admits it. Is this considered a hachasha on money? According to the Chachamim, yes. Story comes to an end. Question comes to an end. I'm not asking according to the Chachamim. I'm asking according to Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, is that considered a denial on money? So Rabbah's answer is, it's a denial on money. And for the remainder of today's daf, basically we challenge Rabbah's answer. Abaye challenges Rabbah's answer. Because we seem to have numerous sources that would indicate that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not money even after Hamad Abedin. The Mishnah in Karban Shvur seems to indicate that. Our Mishnah in Ksuva seems to indicate that as well. Strong questions that really bothered Rab and Rav Yosef for 22 years. Rav Yosef finally says that, you know what, according to Rabbi Shimon, after Hamad Abedin, it's money. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is an exception to the rule. Why? Because of the Pasuk of Venasa. Okay. In a nutshell, that's basically the back and forth in today's daf. Tomorrow we're going to finish up on this particular point.